Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you're having a super blessed day. Truly just enjoying this very moment right here and right now. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we're talking to Mr. Jeremy Reeves, who is the founder of Scale Advisors. He has generated over $200 million in revenue for himself and his clients, and he's built and sold a multi-million dollar company, served as the CEO of an eight-figure portfolio with over 100 plus employees across seven businesses, and created at least five different eight-figure offers. He's also a husband. He's also a father. He's also a happy hustler. And you guys are going to learn a ton today all about the five levers that you need to dial in order to scale your business. We are going deep down the marketing rabbit hole of how to run an online business efficiently and effectively, and ultimately operationally, how you can scale your business. So we're talking all things contribution margin, acquisition efficiency, lifetime value, cash velocity, operational scalability, and so much more. So when you get some value, check out scaleadvisors.com. Check out his free stuff there. Also, if you want to do a business audit with him or even potentially work together with him in a more of a done-for-you concept, he is the man and very sharp. So check that out. When you get some value, do me a solid, share this with somebody who could also benefit. That's how we spread the message with more and more people and ultimately stay in the top 0.5% globally ranked podcast out there. It's because of you. It's because you share it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, without further ado, let's dive in to this episode of The Happy Hustle. All right, Jeremy Reeves, my brother, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I am super stoked to rock the mic with you, man.
I'm probably more stoked to be here.
Love it, man. Well, you are the founder of Scale Advisors. You have generated over $200 million in revenue for yourself and your clients, and you have built and sold multi-million dollar companies. You served as the CEO of an eight-figure portfolio with over 100 plus employees across seven different businesses, and you have created at least five different eight-figure offers, among many other wins over your career. Now you help high-integrity entrepreneurs engineer scalable profit models without the chaos or complexity that is killing most businesses today. But more importantly, you're a happy hustler, man. You're a husband of, you said, 16 years, and you've been with your wife for 21 years, a father of three, and I'm really stoked again to just dive into all of your internet marketing wisdom and extract it for our happy hustling audience. But before we get into all that good stuff, Jeremy, what is something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
Yeah, so I'm a weird dude, for sure. there are this is confirmed by multiple personality tests and all sorts of different things. I tend to break all those models for some reason. I have a very unique brain, apparently. But yeah, so I would say the something that most people don't know is that I am way, way, way more spiritual than most people realize. So not a religious guy, but when it comes to spirituality, like very, very deep into it. I've had all sorts of crazy experiences, especially like meditating, have experiences of like complete oneness where I've lost complete sense of my body, was no longer a human, like all sorts of weird stuff like that. I've been to the Amazon jungle to do ayahuasca. Like it's, I've gone very deep down that rabbit hole.
Nice.
And now I'm in this phase now where I'm really digging into like quantum physics and quantum mechanics and like learning about just the whole quantum world. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. In fact, I was reading this morning about how they, they're essentially talking about time, and I'm not an expert in all this, so I may get this a little bit wrong, but you know, essentially talking about how time works, and they've now basically confirmed that, like, when you put your awareness on something, it can actually change past events, right? Which is it just like almost breaks your mind thinking about that stuff. So I'm a fanatic about just learning why we're here and who we are, and you know, all the weird, crazy stuff that goes along with that.
I love it, man. I got a little crystal here on my desk. Nice. That my wife gave me, and you know, I'm very spiritual. Like, oh, you got one too? Nice, dude. Look at that. Cheers on our crystals. If you're watching YouTube, it's going down here. My friend just said you can charge your crystal. I didn't know that was a thing, but you like charge it in the moon apparently or something. Sunlight. Yeah. And, I totally resonate. Like, I'm very spiritual, not religious. You know, I believe in a higher power. I believe that faith plays a massive role in my life. I pray every day to God, but I just have been, you know, I've learned many religions, but not necessarily became, you know, a practitioner. So yeah, very cool stuff, man. I love that. And I think it's important as happy hustlers that we have, again, that mindful spirituality. That's one of our 10 alignments of being a happy hustler. So love that. But today, for the purpose of this podcast, we are talking about scaling your business, you know, and I know faith plays a part, but I mean, dude, you generated nearly 200 mil in revenue for you and your clients, but you hate the word revenue. So break down first and foremost why entrepreneurs should ditch that word completely.
Yeah. So it really comes down to your focus, right? Anytime you go to any mastermind, it's all like, you know, I made 10 million last year. I made 5 million last year. I made 50 million last year, all that stuff. But then if you start digging in, you're like, oh, well, how much did you net? Then it's like, oh, someone call my name over there. You know, it's like, there are a lot of people, like I know a lot of 8-figure business owners, and like high seven, you know, like most of my friends are in the like kind of mid sevens to higher eights. And, you know, I have a lot of people that I know in that range. And it's crazy when you really start talking to people, like how, you know, the actual income that's coming in. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we grew 30% last year, but I'm somehow making less than I did, you know, 2 years ago, like even though our revenue is so much more. And it really just comes down to like, everyone's got this obsession with revenue, and it's like, revenue does not matter. You know, I would so much rather own a $2 million business that nets $1 million versus a $10 million business that nets $1 million, right? Because there's so much more complexity and all that kind of stuff. Like for me, and I'm sure for your audience, they would probably all, or at least most people on here would align with that. For me, it's just, how do you maximize revenue with the minimum, you know, pain in the ass possible? So like, that's all it's, I've always been about like this lifestyle. I'm a family man. Me and my wife do stuff all the time together. In fact, we're actually probably going out this Friday afternoon. We were just talking about that this morning. And I've had kids, like my kids are 8 to 14. So I'm like right in the thick of it. It's always meant more to me to be here for the family, to be present mentally. My brain doesn't like a bazillion things. At least it doesn't now. Earlier in my career, I was the most, you know, squirrel-brained entrepreneur that you could possibly imagine. I've been told by astrologers that I'm a Pisces, so I guess that's like a very common thing. Is just, you know, very scattered and all that. So I've trained my brain over the years to be more focused. And meditation helps so much with that. So it really just comes down to like focus. It's like instead of focusing on the revenue, focus on profit. How do I increase profit? Yeah. You know, it gets you to answer so much faster. And at the end of the day, that's what we all want anyway. But for reason, even though we want this, we're focusing over here. And it's kind of like if we're for some reason throwing the hatchets just came into my brain. So we'll go with that one. So it's like, it's kind of like, you know, you're at the range, you got a beer in one hand, you got a hatchet in the other, and you're throwing them, trying to hit the bullseye. Right. But instead of looking at your bullseye, you're looking at the guys over here, but you're thrown here. Right. Like it doesn't make sense, but we do it every single day in business. And it's like, why? You know, it makes no sense. So I've just found when you stop caring about the revenue line, the vanity metric that makes people impressed. Stop worrying about that and only just look at like, okay, profit, you know, how does profit come in? Like, I mean, for me, I like to understand the flow of business the flow of money through the business, right? So it's like, you need to know the revenue, right? But that's not the goal. The revenue isn't the goal. That's the big like mental switch. You have to understand when business comes, or Jesus, I did it again. When revenue comes into your business, right, you have to understand where it leaks out, right? Because like it's kind of like a conveyor belt with holes in it almost. And then like your little pot of gold is at the end, you know, whatever gets past the holes is your profit. If you start focusing on the holes and plugging the holes by figuring out whatever's constraining, you know, that piece that's making the whole, the money fall through the hole, essentially. It's such a faster way to get to where you want to go, which is the profit, right? And generally too, when you do that, it generally simplifies the entire business as well, because you're only focused on like the big needle movers and not everything, right? Like when I work with clients, it's one of the last things I always look at the marketing. The marketing is obviously an important thing. You know, I've generated hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm a marketing guy. Like that's, you know, I get my first 10 years in business. I was a direct response copywriter, you know, doing all that stuff. I'm marketing sales funnel guy. I was doing sales funnels back in like 2010 before the word funnels was even a word, you know? And so I am like a marketing guy through and through, but as I've built businesses, as I've been behind the scenes, it's like, it's kind of like the old infomercials, like, but wait, you know, there's a better way, or there's got to be a better way, right? And it's like, I just kept hitting the same wall so many times that I realized, hey, why are we like focusing over here when we want this, but we're not putting attention on this, you know?
Right.
And I'm sure we'll get into like, the more specifics on how to do that as we talk, but that's for that specific question. It's really just, don't focus on it because it's a waste of time, honestly. This short and quick answer.
Yeah. They say revenue is for vanity, profit is for sanity.
And right, exactly. I believe
most people do get caught up with the top line, and not enough entrepreneurs and business owners are really honing in and focusing, to your point, on the net profit and what do you actually take home and keep. Now, you know, there's a lot here to unpack, but I know you specifically talk about the five economic levers that control every dollar in a business. Can you give us a one-on-one crash course on how the Happy Hustlers can pull the right ones?
Yeah. So notice the word revenue will not be said throughout all this.
Okay.
Great. Hopefully I don't say it. So the first one, and none of these are in any particular order. Some of them tend to be bigger levers than other. It really depends on the business and where the constraints in the business are and that sort of thing. But in general, you know, there's really no particular order. So the first one is contribution margin. That is pretty much the, I'm going to say revenue. it's revenue minus your variable costs, right? So if you make, you know, $100,000 and your variable costs, which is pretty much anything tied to you selling that product, right? If that is $50,000, you would have a contribution margin of $50,000, right? That is what goes to paying off your fixed expenses first. So like basically if you make $100,000 in revenue, $50,000 of that, again, assuming the 50% contribution margin, $50,000 goes towards paying expenses. After those expenses are paid, that's when you profit, right? You make literally $0 until that point and then you profit. And what's insane too, is I've never talked to anybody who's like articulated this. I've never had a conversation with it. It hit me like probably about a year ago. And I was like, it just completely shattered my brain. So we'll go back to that scenario, right? You make $100,000, 50% contribution margin. And we'll just say $50,000 in fixed expenses for easy math, right? So that first $100,000, you make $0. The next dollar, you make 50 cents. And every single dollar above that, you make 50 cents. So you have a 50% margin once you break even, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, if you think about that, I know a lot of people that they push really hard, right? To get to like the break even point. And then they hit break even And then they're like, oh, finally, like, I'm not losing money anymore. You know, it's like, I can kind of lay off for a while. And it's like, no, like, go harder, right? Because now you're making 50% margins on every dollar above that. Like, assuming you don't add more fixed expenses, obviously, right? So that's contribution margin. And that's a really big lever because it's almost like a little supercharger behind every dollar of revenue that comes in. Because if you have, if you don't, basically, if your contribution margin is bloated, and say it's 50 and your competitors are at 60% margin or 70% margin, they're making, it's so much easier for them to make a profit and to be able to put that extra margin into more ad spend or, you know, or whatever they're doing. That's going to allow them to pay more for customers, which is they're going to outsell you. They're going to outmarket you, all the things, because for every single person that comes in, for every, you know, a unit sale, they're making more money, right, on each individual sale that goes through the business, right? So that's contribution margin. Let's see. The second one we'll cover is, let's go to acquisition efficiency, right? So acquisition efficiency, most people are going to be familiar with that. It's basically just, you know, customer acquisition efficiency, how efficient you are at getting customers, right? The big mistake a lot of people hear is it's always, I want to lower my CPA. I want to lower my CPA. That's like, or cost to acquire customer. It's all kind of the same thing. It's just different terminology. I found that you generally, you should do that because you're being efficient. You know, if you drive up conversions, it'll lower your cost to acquire the customer, you know, that sort of thing. And it's a good thing, but it's also important to factor in the quality of those customers, because different channels, different messaging, different offers, they all attract different people. And those people are coming in, right, with their own conditioned beliefs. Like, it's just a different person, right? Just think of if you're selling a service that's $30,000 versus $3,000, right? Just for a very clear example, very different person, right? For sure. They're going to have different needs. They're going to have different pain points. They're going to have different desires, right? So like when you get more efficient at getting the right person, right? That's the big shift is becoming efficient at getting the right person in the business. That that you can look at the lifetime value growth over time. So like whatever the AOV is on day one, say it's $100, right? If yours is like over the next year, you get them up to $500 in lifetime value, and your customers or your competitors are only getting up to 200, you have a massive advantage. And there's a lot, and lifetime value is actually the next lever. So we'll just kind of jump into that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that one is these are all tied together. Like they're all levers that when you pull one, all the other ones, it's like a big domino, like a domino ring almost. Yeah. Like whatever one you hit, it knocks all the other ones. And so lifetime value is the next one. That is one of my favorites. And if I had to pick like two of them, out of all the levers, it's kind of really depends on the business, but the ones that I like are contribution margin and lifetime value, because if you nail both of those, you can just afford such a bigger cost to acquire a customer. You can afford to spend so much more than your competitors when you have those dialed in. And that's pretty much like where we are with where we are like in the market for most businesses online today. It's just going up and up and up. All the costs to acquire customers are going up every year. Conversions are going down every year. Average order values are going down every year. Like, so all the economics are working against everyone. So if you don't have all these dialed in, it's going to be really hard over the next couple of years to continue to grow, especially with AI now. Like, you know, all the metrics are going down. It's making it harder. And AI, like, it's starting to get there. I thought ChatGPT-5 was going to be a bigger thing than it is. but it's starting to get there. And it certainly has increased productivity. I mean, we're nowhere near like AGI or, you know, where like even most of the AI claims, you know, these days, but it certainly is increasing productivity. But over the next couple of years, when we're getting to everyone is increasing your productivity by 3, 4, 10 times, we're all going to have the same marketing messages. Everyone's going to funnel hack everyone every day. So it's like, you need all these levers behind the scenes so that your competitors don't know what you're doing, because everyone, you know, I mean, most funnel hackers are so lazy. They'll look like just at your sales letter. Like the amount of people who actually go through your whole funnel and buy everything is like, I mean, they probably click no on each upsell, you know? So if you have all these things in the back end, your competitors don't know how you're able to spend $400 on a new customer when they can only spend 100, right? So that's like why all this stuff's so important. It's kind of like the hidden economics that they can't see.
Let me jump in for a recap for the audience, just because I know you're getting super technical fast, and I like to get into the weeds, but I just want to make sure we don't lose anybody in the process. So what we're talking about here, people, is the key five levers to essentially scale your business. And contribution margin, right? Really getting clarity there on what is your revenue and then your variable costs. Then acquisition efficiency, like how much does it cost you to acquire a customer, right? And then your customer lifetime value. So what does your customer spend with you over the life cycle of them doing business with you? These are some very key metrics that every business should know if you really want to play at the highest level and make data-driven decisions. Let's hit on the last two levers.
So the next one is payback velocity, or cash velocity. I think I like cash velocity better than payback velocity, because it's pretty much this is essentially how money flows through your business, right? When a dollar comes in, how long does it take to do the cycle in your business to come back to you in terms of profit, right? So let's just say that $100 comes in and then you have to deliver that service, right? Let's say it costs you $50 to acquire the customer. You're getting 100, so now you're down to 50. And then you have $25 in variable costs, you have $25 in fixed costs. So now day one, you're at break even, right? But those people are on. So like most people would be like, oh, my payback period or my cash velocity, whatever term you want to give it, would be day one. Like I'm break even on day one. However, and I actually did this with a really big company, and it was messing up their metrics pretty bad, how this works, right? Let's just say that half of those customers are on payment plans and it's like a 6-month payment plan or something like that. Well, you're not actually getting the money day one. If you're doing on an accrual accounting, you know, then the P&L is going to show that. But then if you switch it to cash, you're going to see that it takes a long time to get that money because obviously they're on payment plans, right? So you have to factor that in too. And then if you're in like a service business, you're looking at like, you know, accounts receivable and accounts payable and, you know, invoicing and, you know, what the net terms are and that sort of stuff. We won't get into all the weeds on that. But it's really just like this one is just looking at when you spend a dollar, it goes out your door. How long does that dollar on a net basis, not on revenue, again, coming back to that, not revenue, on a net basis after all the fees are taken out, once you actually collect that cash, how long is that cycle, right? And the importance of that metric is if it takes you, let's just say 6 months, right, to get that cash back, just for a kind of very extreme example, let's say it takes 6 months to get that cash and you have $100,000 that you've invested in ads. Well, now you can only recycle that cash twice in a year, right? So you can basically make 200 back, right? If you take that 6 months and you put it to 1 month, well, now you recycle that cash 12 times throughout the year, right? So you can imagine how many more customers. I'm not going to be able to do the math in my head, but it's a lot more customers, right? Instead of you know, being able to put that 100 into 200, now it becomes 1200. So it's like a 6x. It's 6x multiple. And then if you add that onto the other levers and it's, you know, 10% increase here, 10% increase here, 10% increase here, it adds up into like the hundreds of percent. And again, in profit that you generate, not revenue, profit. And that's why they're so powerful, right? So that's cash velocity. And then the last one is operational scalability, right? So, there's kind of two, this one kind of splits both ways, two ways. The first side is how scalable your delivery is, right? On the operational side, how complex it is. If you double the amount of customers, how many more employees do you need to deliver, that product or that service, right? That side, that sort of thing. So you always want that, especially again, this crowd wants that to be very simple, We don't want to be dragged in the weeds on delivery, that sort of thing. In terms of how it actually comes back to you on the profit side of things, that's really the difference between your fixed costs and your contribution margin, right? So it's looking at if you double, we'll just say again, double customers, right? And you double your revenue, what percent do your expenses go up? Do they go up 10% and you have like a 10-to-1 ratio, or they go up 80% in which you're only, you know, you're doubling your revenue, but your profit's only going up 20%. That's a really big, a lot of that's caused by really high fixed costs. The amount of bloat that I see in companies, I get behind the scenes in a lot of companies, the amount of bloat that most people have is unreal. I'm talking to someone, right now, and I won't even give away, I won't even say the industry or anything like that, so no one has any idea who it is. But they're doing almost 4 million, it's like high 3 million in revenue. And they have, basically their labor costs, right? Their labor to revenue ratio is about 33%. And their industry should be about 15%, right? So they're very, very, very bloated on labor. And I did the math, and pretty much if we got that down just to the baseline, not even like a grand slam, but just like where it should be, they would almost triple their profit. Just that one single change would almost triple their profit just by focusing on that one single thing. No more revenue, no better marketing, not even getting into like, you know, improving contribution margin or LTV or any of that stuff. It's just looking at that one single constraint can triple their, and I'm actually going to be starting to work with them. So that's one of the things we'll do, but we haven't yet. But it was just something I was just like 3 days ago that I looked at that P&L. And as I was going through it, it just stood out to me. It's crazy because I see that over and over and over and over. Mm. It's just, you know, so it's really important to be on top of your numbers and to really understand how these levers all interact and how they change your profit, right? Because they're very, very high leverage levers.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, just to recap, the last two was cash velocity, which is like how long is that cycle when a dollar comes in to you actually get to realize it as profit, right? Yep. And then the operational scalability, which is how complex is the actual delivery of your product or service. I think knowing, again, these five key metrics, contribution margin, acquisition efficiency, customer lifetime value, cash velocity, and operational scalability, these are the difference between success and failure, between scale and burnout, right? This is why it's so important when you're talking about happy hustling, your dream reality as an entrepreneur, you got to know your numbers. And again, full transparency for me, I would much rather just be the big vision guy, but I've had to train myself to look at the numbers, meet with my bookkeeper, meet with my accountant, meet with my tax strategist, meet with the team to really get clear on this stuff. And I'm definitely don't claim to be the guru in any of this shit, you know, but it's just, it's knowing the importance of it, I think is the first awareness piece that everyone hopefully hearing this is like, damn, maybe I'm not as clear on these core pieces.
Right.
Or maybe I'm a newer entrepreneur or an aspiring entrepreneur, and I don't know any of these. I need to educate myself further. So really great points there, man. You know, you do talk a lot about these key levers, but you've also built and sold a multi-million dollar company of your own, and you've led 100 plus employees in the process. What's the biggest invisible wall that you have seen entrepreneurs slam into, and how do you actually break through it?
Yeah, you know, it's most people kind of get to the point where they start the business, they're excited, they get momentum, and then they keep hitting walls, and it's almost like not even one specific wall, but it's like everyone has their own constraint, right? And and it's like, you know, in one person it might be like the one I just talked about, they clearly have a constraint, they're over labored, right? And that having that, right, is dropping their margins. So they have to pay less to acquire customers, which means that they can't get customers, right? Right. Or in their case, they do a lot more like free stuff, right? Like a lot more organic, social, like that sort of thing, because they can't afford to, you know, to pay a lot of money in paid ads and that sort of thing, right? So that's it, like basically when one of the levers is off, it creates the constraint. So it's really about coming back and figuring out which of these levers is causing your constraint and looking at like, I always say people like when they're trying to figure out what their constraint is, right? It's like, well, just ask yourself a question. What pisses you off every day about your business? Right. And it's like, oh God, we have so many people. It's so chaotic. You know, there's confusion. You know, that was actually another client that I was working with is I went in and like the entire operational team had no idea what they were supposed to be doing, what they were being measured on, what success in their role looked like. They didn't have the vision of the company. They didn't know, the ops didn't know what marketing was doing. Marketing didn't know what ops was doing. Right. So like in their case, it's like the invisible wall basically they were hitting was like culture essentially. Right. So it's like, if you just look at what you keep slamming against, it's going to push you back to, to one of these levers. So for example, so many people that I know, their biggest constraint is they can't, with rising ad costs and everything, like they're basically paying out as much as they possibly can to acquire customers without losing a ton of money and that sort of thing. So their constraint is how much they can pay to afford a customer. So it's like, okay, well, the only way that you can then fix that is you have to get really, really good at like conversion rate optimization or hiring a $30,000 copywriter to rewrite your funnels and all that kind of stuff. Or you can just look at where you're weak with one of those levers and fix it that way, right? So in this case, it would be either I'd be looking at probably either contribution margin. And if that was good, I'd be looking at lifetime value, which lifetime value is for most people. That's like 70% of the time I'm looking there because most people, they get someone in the door. Oh, I have a high AOV. And then it's just like absolute nothing, crickets, you know? And so you have to have a customer journey. You have to be taking people.
One of the best things that I've ever done for my business is invest in my brand. Specifically, that means investing in my graphic design, my logo design, my company website, company swag. All things brand are imperative. Heck, you can catch me rocking something Happy Hustle branded pretty much every single day of the week. And I'm super excited about pairing up with my friends at 99 Designs by Vista because they can help you optimize your brand too. And right now they're running $25 off your first design contest if you go to 99designs.com/happy. But not only do you get $25 off, when you do that and you shoot over an email to my team, Carrie at the Happy Hustle, you can be entered to win one of these amazing swag boxes, which will have a lot of fun and super cool swag from the Happy Hustle. And fun fact too, this swag box was designed and created by 99 Designs. This box is a great representation of my brand. So when you get a package from us, it comes in a Happy Hustle branded box with all different types of websites, custom quotes, shout outs for the podcast, 10 alignments lists. It has a personal message from myself on the inside of the box that shares a little bit about our mission. It also shares the definition of the Happy Hustle, aka the systematic harmonization of ambition and well-being, ensuring life balance without the burnout. So if you're interested in optimizing your brand, you got to check out 99designs.com/happy. Save yourself $25 on the design contest. Send over your email receipt to Carrie at the Happy Hustle and be entered to win a new swag box. We're picking a winner every single week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now let's get back to this episode. What is up, fam? I want to share with you something that I'm super stoked about, and that is my Neurable AI headphones. These things are bad to the bone. Probably the best headphones I've ever owned. They have these EEG tracking brain sensors that help me boost performance and avoid burnout because they tell me when I need a brain break. They also have amazing sound. You can take calls, they have noise cancellation, all the things that headphones deliver. Neurable.ai and Master and Dynamic have created in these MW75 Neuros, and you get the hookup. That is the best part. You can go to Neurable.ai and use code HAPPY to save $100 off your pair of badass Neurable.ai headphones. So check them out. All right, let's get back to this show. Peace and love.
You know, where they, right, wherever they start with you should not be where they finish. That should be like the absolute bare bones minimum of the experience, the overall their experience they're going to have with you. You know, if they're coming in to solve everyone's entrepreneurs, right? So it's like you come in to solve a profit problem and it's like, okay, cool, let's solve that problem. Well, now you have more profit. Now let's, what's the next thing, you know, in the journey, whether that's like, okay, now let's go back and grow revenue at the same profit level, or, oh, cool, now we can afford more employees because, you know, I'm the CEO, but I've been writing copy for the last 5 years, or, you know, so it's kind of, you just look through and it's like, what's driving you crazy about your business? And that usually, like, why is this driving me crazy? What's the constraint here? What's going wrong? What roadblock am I hitting? And that generally will kind of guide you to the answer of what's weak. You know, and then you just fix that part that's weak, the constraint, and then the ceiling is gone. You know, and then of course you grow, and then you hit a new one, and then you figure, you know, it's just cycle repeats itself over and over. You go from 500 grand to a million, and then you hit another one, and then you unblock it, and then you go to 2 million, you unblock it, you go to five. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I'm sure there's, you know, in every business there's constraints. You know, that's because otherwise you'd be trillions and trillions of dollars and you'd own the world, right? So there's always a constraint. It's just how big the constraints are, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the key piece to the puzzle is figuring out what's holding you back. And you mentioned AOV, just for clarity for people who don't know, average order value, right? So when you have someone spend money with you, how much on average is that? And again, going back to LTV, customer lifetime value, you know, when you think about it, like even just take our business for example, you know, we have repeat masterminds throughout the year that guys will attend. So they'll sign up for one, but then they'll come on another one and then another one. And typically we see them, one customer will come on at least three masterminds as a part of our program. And then a portion of those people will upsell to our community, you know, our reoccurring membership community. Mm-hmm. A portion of those people will then upgrade to our B2B SaaS program, which is our Happy Hustle Company certified, you know, happiness program that increases employee engagement and decreases churn. So it's taking people through, like you said, this life cycle. You know, we also have a book funnel and, you know, our free content and stuff like that for the lower end, you know, offers, will you? But for the most part, our stuff is higher ticket and it is more targeted to a very specific person. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, just to give you a little look under the hood, Jeremy, like what we're running into as a constraint is we ran out of spots to sell in masterminds. And yeah, I was so like,
you're on the operational constraint, which is a great constraint, by the way.
So, I mean, our ROAS for our ads, we've never really run ads. Last summer, just we started for the first like two months of it. And then we were crushing it last summer. So then we did again this summer. This summer, our ads got 8.6 ROAS. Nice. And apparently it's pretty decent for, you know, and that's just to the front end offer. But again, the constraint for us was, well, we just didn't have any more spots to sell people. So we had tons of bookings on the calendar for application calls, but nothing else to give them. So I was like, oh shit, this is a problem. We need to figure this out. You know, so at any level, there's different problems that you have to sell or to solve in order to move on to the next level. So it's interesting to put it into these key terms, and then you can really identify where you're at. So very interesting stuff. Do you have a way in which you look at the overall strategy, how you go through with a new entrepreneur and how you recommend they look at their business? Let's say they're listening to this right now. They're like, all right, I want to go through and I want to understand the strategy that Jeremy's talking about. Is there an order of operations when you go through to dissect and do that audit that you would recommend?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll be honest. I'm trying to figure out some sort of templatized way to do that. And I'm actually in the process of building. I have no idea when it's going to be released or if it ever will, if I could ever figure it out. Because the problem that I have with this is it's so contextual, right? It's going to depend on business model. It's going to depend on market cycles. It's going to depend on the business size, right? Because a $200,000 business is significantly different than a 2 million, so much different than a 20 million, right? So there's so many layers to that. So I'm trying. I don't have like a step one, do this, step two, you know, do this.
Okay.
It's more of just,
you got to build it.
Yeah. So I'm in the process of building that now and trying to work through it. And what are the variables? What are the exceptions? You know, break it down by industry. Like it's a really complex thing to figure out, because right now, like, it's just 20 years of experience. I'd look at something like the example that I gave earlier of the high labor. I knew very little about that business, and I spotted her constraint just by looking at the P&L in about 2.5 minutes, right? Because I've seen so much that your brain picks it up, right? There's a pattern, and your brain picks it up. I realize that's not super helpful for listening to this. So it's really, I mean, the best piece of advice that I would give, probably 6 months from now, I'll be able to say, do this, do this, do this. In general, it really comes down to understanding those five levers, really. And because when you understand them, then it becomes clear, right? So if you figure out your contribution margin and say it's 60% or whatever, and then you look up like a ChatGPT, hey, I own X company in X industry. What's like a good benchmark contribution margin that I should have? And it says 60. You're like, cool, that's not a constraint, right? And then you do the same thing with lifetime value, and you say, hey, you know, I have a free book funnel, and people spend $10 for the book, and then my average order value on day one is $30, right? And then my lifetime value over the next 90 days is $50, right? Well, you can look at them and just get benchmarks, and if you learn that what you should have is like a $70 AOV, and then that should go up to 300 in the first 3 months or whatever it is, then you're like, oh wow, okay, now I know that's the constraint. I need to work on that. A lot of times it's gut feel, right? Like, so for you, like, it's so obvious that it's the operational constraint. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it just smacks you in the face, and I love those moments. You know, other times it takes some digging. But it really comes down, like, it's that. That's why I spent a lot of time figuring out, like, dissecting what are the things that actually matter. And it's like, that's why I came up with these five levers, because it, like, I'm still yet to find anything that doesn't fit under there. Right. And it's just, it gives you such a clear, like, oh my God, that's it. Right. And if you fix that, like, I don't know what your numbers are, all that, but like, say it was whatever, $300,000 a year, whatever, that you generate from that service, and you had twice the amount of people, let's just say you double your operational capability. Well, boom, you just added $300,000. Right. And then if you looked at the LTV of that, and then you looked at what you're paying to acquire customers, you're probably like, oh my God, I can, you know, I'm spending $100 to acquire a customer. They're worth $1,500 over the first, you know, 90 days. You can raise your cost to acquire customers so much and get way more volume, right? Mm-hmm. But knowing you're getting that LTV and you do the numbers, you'll make way, way, way more profit at the end of the day, right? So it really just comes down. And then of course you'll run into another constraint. Then it's like, you know, I opened up and I doubled my, capacity for that service. And, uh, And so now, but now I have double the customers. So now I hit, you know, I hit the ceiling again, you know? So then it's like, okay, well, in your case, what I would be saying is, okay, people are paying X for this. How do, who can I pull out of that to get to pay four times more? Right. And so going up a level, I learned that from, I think it was Dan Kennedy. I'm going back probably.
Yeah.
15 years probably. You know, but it always just stuck with me of like, whenever you have whatever it is, say a $10,000 product or service, whatever it is, and you have people paying that, right? How many more of those would pay $25,000 or $50,000, right?
Right?
And it's like you just keep more and more value for a higher and higher price until no one is left that will pay it, right? In one of the business that I was consulting with a couple months ago, they had one that was $36,000, and we were talking about doing one level at $250,000, right? $250,000. Well, it was going to be like the 36,000, and then I think it was then 100, and then 250, and then a million, right? And it's like for when you're getting into that level, you have to understand what's important to people, because at that level, if someone's paying you $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, whatever it is, in this space at least, it's not for education, it's not for information, right? It's either for like implementation. Sometimes it's just like the star factor, right?
The proximity.
Right. Like, so people will pay a lot of money for proximity. I personally don't care. Like a Hollywood celebrity could walk in my door. I'd be like, oh, hey man, like, how are you? Like I don't, that doesn't do anything for me, but for a lot of people, it does. I mean, people would kill to have a dinner with, Richard Branson, right? You know, everyone probably on here loves him, right? I don't know how you don't. You know, and I would too, but it would be more for the business education, not like the oh my God, you're Richard Branson sort of thing. And so you basically just I know it's a very long-winded way of saying like kind of get to know your numbers better, and then learn to fish, you know. But I am working on something with that, and it's gonna probably have to be AI based, I think, because there's just so many variables. But I have something in the works that I'm working on. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to diving into it once you get it templatized and systematized so we can leverage it. You know, one thing that also attracts me to you, Jeremy, just I know we've been bros for a long time. I don't even know how we first met. Actually, I was trying to figure that out. Do you remember how we first met? Was it Craig?
I think it was Craig and Lynette. And we had the camping. Yeah. I forget what you call it.
Yeah.
The retreat, whatever. We were supposed to go on that, but then that's when you got sick, and camped. But I do want to go out there so bad.
We got to get you out on one of these.
Yeah. I can't, my son has a lot of issues that we're dealing with right now. So I'm like not even traveling, but once that's all past us, that's like one of the top things on my plate.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. Well, speaking of being a family man, you know, one of the things I like to dive into is happy hustle hacks for a couple different areas of your life. Before we get into all that good stuff, I mean, you largely have this beautifully balanced life, you know, in these 10 different areas, these 10 alignments, our soul mapping system. How do you keep it all together? How do you systematically harmonize that ambition and well-being?
Yeah. So, I would say, honestly, the number one reason for that is because I made a choice to do it, right? Beyond any hacks and beyond any strategies and all, you know, journals or anything like that, you just got to make the decision that you're going to do it, right? So many people are like, oh, you can't have a successful business and a successful marriage and be healthy and have great relationship with your kid and have a great social life and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, well, I do. So why can't you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like I always look at that. That's anytime someone says something's possible, I always say, is there one person on planet Earth that has achieved it? And if that answer is yes, it's not impossible. Right. There's no reason that you can't do it too. So that the mindset is number one. That is, it's the mindset.
Agreed.
After that, I actually track everything. I have them all written down, and every year I go and I have like each, it's just in a Google document, just a page. And it's basically, what's my current reality, right? So like each of them, you know, health, finances, business, relationship, you know, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Pretty much where am I now? Where do I want to be? And what's the gap? What do I need to do to close that gap?
Yep.
Right. So action items to close the gap. That's my secret, honestly, is I just track them, and I have that document. I've been doing it now for probably 7 or 8 years. In fact, it was actually Craig that got me onto that.
Nice.
And, you know, so that actually any business that I'm involved in, whether it's my own or clients or whatever, I always give that exercise to them because it just changed my life so much. But it's really just that simple. You mark down all the, like, you know, each area, and then it's, where am I now? Where do I want to be? And what do I have to do to close the gap? That's it.
Love, you know, it.
So yeah,
that's it. Just to your point, what you measure, you can manage, you know, why we manage and measure the 10 different areas of life, our 10 alignment system. That's been profound for me and in my trajectory. And, you know, it's very similar to what you do. So I love that. That's just very intentional in your life. I know people are probably like, all right, this guy's a smart dude. I need to explore his content, dive deeper, maybe work with you directly. Talk to us about where people can go to learn more about you, Jeremy, and even potentially work together with you.
Yep. Yeah. So I have, companies called Scale Advisors. Website is scaleadvisors.com. We have all sorts of stuff there. We have free training. I have my own podcast called Scalable Growth. We have products that are like pretty much all the products and programs we have are all around these five levers, right? How do you increase those? Goes way in depth, all sorts of stuff. But there's products, programs, services, you know, in terms of like I do audits where I come in and I do like a full, like very, very deep audit of people's businesses that generally want to, they want to cry after they see them because it's pretty much, I'm pretty much coming in and like, hey, what are all the things wrong with your business? You know? But it's, you have to know those things in order to progress, yeah. Right? You can't be flying blind. So that's pretty much my job, is just to point out all the things that are wrong, prioritize them, put like, you know, I have like a whole, like a weighting system in terms of like which ones to do first and second and all that sort of thing. And then, you know, there's like, you know, done with you, like consulting stuff where it's, I'm kind of just like guiding you like an advisor, right? Hence Scale Advisors. And then we also do done for you, where I actually come in and it's like, hey, you know, we did the audit. Here are all the things that are wrong. Here are the top, whatever, 5, 3, 10 things, whatever it is that we have to do. And then I can actually, you know, I've written so many, pieces of copy in my life. I mean, oh my God, I've done, 5 different offers that I know of that were 8-figure offers. Most of those within like 8-figure per year. And I think there's several more that I haven't actually like 100% confirmed that they are, but I'd say there's probably double that probably did, but I can't really say that 'cause I don't know. And a whole bunch of 7-figure. So like, you know, there's copies, you know, I mean, there's all sorts. I even have, if people need designers, developers, like the whole kit and caboodle, you know? There's something there for everyone. We have all sorts of free stuff. You know, if you're earlier in the business, get on the free stuff. There's so much training in there to help you get to be a bigger business, right? If you already have some traction and you need help, or you just don't like to implement stuff, that's a lot of my clients. I mean, they're doing the CEO thing. They either they have a team or like the team's already, I've worked with a bunch of companies that their team was already like, they had a marketing team, whatever, copywriters, but they already had all their own projects. And it's like, okay, let them keep doing what they're doing. I'll come in and just focus on like new profit centers. It kind of works out well, if it landed with you, if you like the idea of kind of what I'm teaching, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. I'm writing a book on all this, also called Scalable Growth. That's turning out to be much, much more of a pain in the ass than I ever thought possible.
I told you. books are a labor of love, man.
Oh, baby, it's if you're doing them right. You know, I see these people.
Exactly.
You know, that are pushing AI stuff, and it's like, I just wrote a book in 30 minutes, and I'm like, okay, but it's absolute trash. Like, you know, it's I could too, and I did using Manus. I wrote like a 475 page book. It took like 10 minutes, but then I read it, and I'm like, this is complete garbage. Yeah. No one's gonna read this. You know, it didn't make sense. Our structure was wrong. It was very surface level. You know, writing a book is a massive labor of love, man. It sure is. But it's, you know,
I'm glad you're doing it though.
Yeah. And it's my focus on that. It's, you know, about all these levers, but I'm really trying to focus on, because as you can see, it can be pretty complex learning all this stuff. Yeah. I've done so much for so long that it's like, and I've actually focused on learning these things. So it's easy for me. It comes naturally for me. I'm a math guy, right? It came naturally to my, you know, the way my brain works, but it doesn't for a lot of people. They have different, right. They're more creative. They're not as analytical, right? So they'd smoke me on the creative stuff, you know? The math doesn't quite make sense. So I'm really trying to make it simple and very digestible. So anyway, so there's a lot there. Again, that's
scaleadvisors.com. Right. Yep. That's a spot. Scaleadvisors.com. We'll link that up in the show notes, and I highly recommend everyone dive in at some level, at least the free content there. Yeah. And then check out his podcast, his book coming out soon. And if you do want to do that audit or work one-on-one, it's all there. So awesome, Jeremy. All right. I'm going to hit you with some of these happy hustle hack questions in conjunction with the rapid fire round. So this is essentially where I just ask you random things and then you answer first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. Favorite food? Go.
Pizza.
Favorite movie?
Well, that's a hard one. Nothing's coming to mind. I'm just gonna say something weird and funny. Nothing's popping in my head. I will get favorite TV show. How about I do favorite TV shows? The Office.
Let's go. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Favorite book.
Probably Rich Dad Poor Dad, because that was the first book that I ever read that changed my mindset. Kind of going into entrepreneurship. It wasn't the most impactful in terms of like I read it and then I did this, but it was just that was the book that. Like it just switched my mindset, and I went from being I was in school to be an elementary school teacher, and I stopped that and I started a business and never looked back since.
Heck yeah. Love it. What's your spirit animal?
Fox.
Nice. Best business advice.
Honestly, stop thinking about revenue and focus all your time on profit. and actually, well said. I would say in the most efficient way possible. I'll add that.
Yeah.
Because so many people waste so much time. It's insane.
Happy hustle hack for your health. Something you do uniquely, Jeremy.
Fasting.
Nice. Happy hustle hack for your relationship.
I'll say two things, if that's okay.
Go.
One is, and I'm talking to the guys here, but obviously it's in reverse for women, or I'll just say spouse. Let me think of the best way to say it. Treat your spouse, like basically think of all the ways, I'm not saying it very clearly. Challenge yourself to like, to basically give your spouse everything, right? So I am constantly in my brain thinking, how do I make her happy? Right. Constantly all day. If I see dishes there, bam, I do it. Like it's, one of the big things for me is, she would ask me to do something and I'd say, yeah, I got it. And then of course, didn't do it. So, probably 5 years ago, I switched that to, if she asked me something, I do it right then. That single thing alone, guys, if you do that, it absolutely changes your. And I say guys, generally that's a male problem.
For sure.
And then the second part would be put a lot of emphasis on sex would be the second thing. Because it's just, there's something about it with the hormones, with the way you connect. It's a taboo thing. But like we've done a lot of experiments with it and like try, you know, more or less, you know, whatever. And it's just, there's something about it that when it's consistent, you just feel closer to each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely true. Happy hustle hack for your money. Something uniquely, Jeremy, that you do to save, spend, or invest wisely.
I would say I put a lot of emphasis on tax savings. It's such an overlooked thing. But depending on what you make, you know, say 25 to 40% of every dollar that comes in, it's almost like, look at the profit in your business. Well, taxes are kind of, it's like the profit in your personal life, right? If you can reduce those, it just goes straight to your bank account. And it's something that a shocking amount of people don't put effort into.
So true.
And it's, I mean, I've saved so much money on taxes and like all legal stuff and, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. There's so many things out there that people don't realize that you can do.
So true.
You know, I'm actually looking at one, tomorrow that it's a 5-to-1 return on tax savings. So for every, like you put in $100,000 and you save $500,000 in taxes, like it reduces your taxable income by $500,000. So it's like, and nobody researches that stuff, you know?
It's true.
That would be the big one.
Love it. And then happy hustle hack for your spirituality, something you do uniquely, Jeremy, to connect to a higher power.
Oh, I do a lot of things. I would say if I had to pick one, I would say for me, anyone who's, I don't even know if I want to say it, but I will. anyone who's, I believe everyone should have their own beliefs, right? I don't believe there's like, you know, a dude with a beard sitting in the clouds, right? I don't believe in that thing. I believe more along the lines of we are all one. We are all God. We all come from the same thing, right? And so for me, it's coming back to that, right? If I'm mad at someone, I bring myself, I ground myself with that, you know, which to me is truth, right? And it's just, okay, who cares then? You know, they're just living out their, you know, their karma in this life. So am I. Let's just go on about our days, you know? And then I would say the second thing is forgiveness. Just to put another one in there. I've gone through a lot of, forgiveness, you know, techniques, I guess, whatever in my life. And the way that it opens you up spiritually is really hard to understand until you go through it. You know, that was one of the biggest unlocks for me was learning like, and I mean like true 100% forgiveness, not like, oh yeah, I forgive him, but you know, I never want to see him again. It's like, I mean, absolutely true. Like it was someone you hate and you forgave them and you can go have a beer with them. Like that level of forgiveness. And just realize that they just are who they are. You are who you are. You don't necessarily have to like them to forgive them.
Yeah.
Right. I've gone, you know, a lot of things, but, one in particular was, someone that I could barely even like look at. And now I can legitimately say, I love you to them, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's, so well, those two together is, and they're kind of combined, you know, it's
nice.
All one and the same. Yeah.
I totally hear you, man, and echo the same sentiment. All right, finishing up the rapid fire round with two more. Okay. What are three things you're most grateful for?
Living, my family, and let's see. I would say my curiosity is popping in my head, so I'll go with that. Everyone's born with strengths and weaknesses and that sort of thing. I was not blessed with many things. Grew up poor, bad genes. Like, you know, I was always the fat kid growing up, you know, like the little pudgy kid, like didn't get the skinny genes, anything like that. But I did get a curiosity for life and I really, really, really love that. And so I'm super grateful for that.
Heck yeah. Love it, man. And then final question here for the rapid fire round. If you had a billboard for the world to see with your last piece of content on there, what's that billboard read?
I would probably put love everyone because they are you.
Mm, crushed that rapid fire round, man. And Jeremy, yeah, wasn't as rapid as the rapid dictates, but it was still, but it was still awesome insight, man. And yeah, man, I just want to take a moment, Jeremy, to acknowledge you for sharing your love, your light, your wisdom, your internet marketing practices, your five levers to scale your business, as well as your depth and love. I feel like you have both sides of the coin, the personal and the professional, figured out largely. And obviously we all have, you know, our shit, but nonetheless, I feel like you are happy hustling in both, man. And it really is awesome to rock the mic with you and to hear and learn from you and your wisdom. So thank you again for doing that.
Yeah. 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 And it was an honor being on here. I hope everyone, you know, I know I get a little long winded sometimes. So, you know, hopefully everyone got some value from this and, you know, and just bring it back to those five levers, man. It's I cannot emphasize that enough. Just bring it back to that, yeah. Learn it, you know, get a deep understanding of those things and it'll transform your life like nothing else you'll ever do. You know, so mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it was super fun being on here. It was awesome to see you as always, you know. Thanks again.
Of course, man. And scaleadvisors.com. We'll link that up in the show notes. Do you have a place where you're on social media too, hanging out more than like any of the platforms you're more regularly using?
Yeah. I don't do a lot right now. I would say probably the best one is look on YouTube. / Scale Advisors. Yeah. I would say that's probably the best one. But I'll also have all the links to everything. Like, you know, if you just scroll like on the social section of the website in the footer, all the links will be on there. So whatever one you prefer. I'm a podcast and email guy. Those are my big things. But I'm trying to get it more into YouTube. Just cause it's good to see people's faces. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really is. You get to see, like, I'm a weird guy. Like, it's like, you know, it's fun just kind of being me. And, you know, I've kind of gotten past the whole, like, you know, try to be who people like expect or whatever. Yeah. I am who I am.
Just be unapologetically you, man.
Like, that's the best. If you don't, that's fine too.
That's the best policy, man. Love it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Last question that I ask all my guests, and it is, what does happy hustling mean to you?
It means to live life the way that you want to live it. Mm. Whatever that is for you, you know. Just live it how you want to live it. That's do it your way, man. You get one, you know, and even if you believe in reincarnation, you only remember one. So
yeah, there you go. There you go, man. Well said. Yeah, dude, I love
it. Do it how you want it.
I love that, man. Awesome. Mic drop. Jeremy Reeves, y'all. Thank you for watching and listening. We are out. Peace and love, everybody. Real quick, I want to share with you something that is helping me fall asleep faster, stay asleep in a deeper REM state, and wake up more refreshed and ready to happy hustle the day. And that is Magnesium Breakthrough. Let me tell you, this stuff is legit. It is the best magnesium supplement for sleep on the market, in my opinion. And it promotes balanced stress response where you feel more relaxed and at peace. You'll sleep faster and deeper. And it's really a key nutrient for healthy immune responses across the board. Plus, it provides an essential electrolyte to maintain healthy rhythm. And it's a key building block to strong bones. And you get the hookup for watching and listening to the Happy Hustle podcast, my friend. All you got to do is go to bioptimizers.com/happy. That is bioptimizers.com/happy. And you can save up to 32%. So check it out. And the best part, let me just tell you, they have a 365-day money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Just give it a try for yourself. All right, y'all. Now back to this episode. Whoa, real quick, I want to interrupt your programming to tell you about our new book, The Happy Hustle Version 2.0, 10 Alignments to Avoid Burnout and Achieve Blissful Balance. I'm telling you, this book is live and it is on fire. We actually recently just hit number 39 on the USA Today National Best-Selling Book List. That means out of every single book that was put out. We outsold all of them except 38 of them. And it's because this book is really designed to help you put the happy in your hustle. And if you're maybe feeling like you're overwhelmed, anxious, stressed, sacrificing your soul for a paycheck, not really feeling fulfilled, this book is for you. It is a systematic way to help you harmonize ambition, yes, crushing it professionally, but also well-being. That means personally as well. So finding that blissful balance, will you? And we go over the soul mapping system and how you can actually implement it in your everyday reality. So if you want to get a copy, you can go to wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, you name it. Or you can go to thehappyhustle.com/book and pick up a copy there and then redeem your actual receipt for over $350 worth of bonuses. We're talking like legit bonuses that can help you put the happy in your hustle in an expedited fashion. So pick up the book if you want to check it out and see what all the hype's about. Regardless, thanks so much for listening and watching, and let's get back to this episode. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.